Request for public hearing, general permit for temporary protective enclosure shellfish, proposed regulation, report of the ad hoc panel. Mr. Travelstead.
Mr. Commissioner.
We normally...
Request for public transportation.
Yes, you do. Just a second, Jackie, if you would. Colonel Alderman or Colonel Rhodes? Can you arrange for Mr. Green, Officer Green, to transport Mr. Bowden to that location he needs to go? Thank you very much. And you said it was going to be easy.
It has been, for me. I haven't said anything all day. First time I've stood up here all day. And we normally don't take a lot of time on agenda items that involve a simple request for public hearing. However, and we are requesting that you advertise the regulation that is before you on this agenda item. That is staff recommendation. But because this is the result of a mandate from the General Assembly, I want to take just a few minutes to go through it. During the last session of the General Assembly, Senate Bill 1333 was unanimously adopted by both the House and Senate and ultimately signed by the governor. You have a copy of what is now two sections of the code, 28.2-603.1 and .2, which are the results of that legislation. 603.1 directs that the commission shall establish a general permit for the use of temporary structures for growing shellfish, oysters, and clams on state leased bottom. If you'll look at the language of that regulation, in addition to specifying that we develop the general permit, the General Assembly has gone so far to list seven provisions that should be included in that general permit, some of which are fairly specific, some of which are more general. But in drafting the general permit, you will see language that is virtually identical to the language you see in 603.1. And that's because they made it somewhat easy on us by providing us with those mandates. We saw no need to change or come up with language of our own. We simply borrowed what the General Assembly directed us to do, to the point that we even refer to these things as temporary enclosures. You see that same language in the draft regulation. To accomplish this task, the commissioner did appoint a special ad hoc committee. They met twice. You'll see the list of names at the bottom of the first page of the evaluation and the top of the second page. All of these individuals were involved in the development of the legislation in Richmond and were familiar with the issue for a variety of reasons. The ad hoc panel was extremely helpful to staff in drafting the panel, and I want to thank them for the amount of time that they put into this. There, as I said, there were two meetings. There was also a fair amount of email correspondence amongst the members that helped us move things along between meetings. To start the process, the first issue that the committee struggled with was how specific should the general permit be? Should it, for example, list minimum distances that these enclosures can be from the shoreline, from piers, from marinas, from navigable channels? Should we specify the exact sizes of the enclosures that we will approve, as another example? In the end, the committee chose to go another way, and that was to draft a relatively general regulation that takes into account the variations that we expect to see in the way of applications from industry. It's going to mean more work on staff because we are going to have to evaluate each proposal that comes before us on its face and determine whether it meets not only these standards but may need to be altered by the commissioner. The legislation not only allows the commissioner to approve or deny a proposal under the general permit, it allows him to alter a proposal. And so if a proposal, another example, if a proposal comes in to place some temporary enclosures in an area that we know or discover is a heavily used boating area, and the applicant is proposing to stack the enclosures so that they come right to the surface of the water at mean low tide, the commissioner has the right to stipulate a clearance over the top of those cages and modify the proposal so that the cages cannot come to the surface of the water. He may also specify a different distance to a pier or a marina or a navigable channel. He may alter the size of the cages if he thinks they're too large. So all of those provisions are available to the commissioner, but again, they'll mean that much more work for the staff. Having made the decision that the general permit should sort of generally address these issues, the one big issue that stuck with some of the ad hoc panel members was the issue of clearance. How much water should be required vertically at mean low water over the tops of these cages? That was viewed by some as a major public safety issue because these aquaculture cages typically are not like crab pots. They're not forgiving. They're rather substantial rebar, you know, metal that when struck by a vessel will are expected to inflict some damage. There was one thought, a couple of members of the advisory panel who thought that the regulation should specify a 3-foot clearance over any cage, while the others on the panel thought, once again, that you should take the general approach, not specify an exact clearance, but once again allow the commissioner to modify a proposal to mandate a clearance if he deemed it was necessary. The majority of the panel preferred the latter approach, while one member preferred the former approach. An additional member indicated he could live with not having a clearance specified in the regulation, but thought that guidelines, much like the wetlands guidelines that you're familiar with, should be developed that accompany this regulation and are provided to industry to provide guidance as to the types of situations we would be concerned about, clearance being one of the major concerns. And I think that's something that the development of guidelines would be something that staff will entertain to take up with the commission at a later date should you adopt this regulation. In the end, it was clear that a majority preferred, again, no specified clearance. We took a look back at some other things that the commission had done, hoping they might provide us some guidance on the clearance issue. There is another regulation, for instance, Regulation 335 that pertains to on-bottom shellfish aquaculture activities that authorizes the placement of structures that do not exceed 12 inches in height as long as they're not marked by a buoy. This regulation is, in a sense, another general permit for structures that don't come off the bottom further than 12 inches. And we note that there's no provision in that regulation, that general permit, if you will, that specifies any type of clearance, although there is a provision in the regulation that says that the structure should be placed in a manner that allows only a minimal effect on navigation. We also went back and looked at several of the most recent environmental permits for aquaculture structures. And of course, you got to remember, these applications undergo a very detailed review by our habitat division. But in each one of those cases, There was no outright provision requiring a clearance, but there were specifications on the depth of water that these cages could be placed in, which is obviously results in a clearance. In one of those permits, it allowed for a 6-inch clearance. A second one allowed for a 1-foot clearance. A third allowed for a 2-foot clearance, and another one did not specify any clearance at all. So clearly, the precedent with the commission has been to address the clearance issue on a case-by-case basis. And so based on all those factors, staff is recommending that you not specify a clearance in the general permit, but you authorize the commissioner to impose a clearance in cases where he deems it necessary and appropriate. And so we have added language to the regulation that you now have that authorizes the commissioner to do that. It also adds language to the list of items that the applicant shall provide to the commissioner prior to approval to include the estimated minimal vertical clearance at mean low water over the proposed enclosures. So that will become a part of the draft regulation as well. So that's where we are. We're ready to go to public hearing with this. I know that there are at least two members of the advisory panel who are here who would like a brief opportunity to speak to you in their own words about what they're recommending or not recommending here today.
Fine. Thanks, Jack. Who's first? Jack?
Dr. Paul is here, and A.J. Erskine.
Okay. D comes before E. Come on up, Dr. Paul.
Good afternoon, Mr. Commissioner and Commissioners. I guess I am the minority report from the panel. And I have two really clear reasons, I think, as to why I have a minority report, and they all revolve around the clearance issue. And the reason why I thought the clearance issue was important is because the omission of a clearance creates, I think, two important issues that must be addressed. One, it creates a de facto three-dimensional aquaculture without permit or review by other environmental agencies, localities, or any other interested party. Going from placing structures on the bottom to a three-dimensional aquaculture structure is a huge leap. I do not know of any state in the country that allows three-dimensional aquaculture without very clear and very stringent procedural review that involves a lot of different parties. The idea of three-dimensional aquaculture has not been reviewed by any other environmental agency of the Commonwealth. It has not passed before their eyes. So I think that there are some issues here that once you take that leap into three-dimensional aquaculture, things begin to change because it's not just a cage on the bottom. It is now structures, could be large, going from the river bottom all the way up to the surface. Now, although the legislation did not specifically mention three-dimensional aquaculture, I'm not sure if they really believe that it would cover three-dimensional aquaculture. I don't think that issue was discussed. I wasn't part of that debate when they were structuring the legislation. So, issue one, it creates de facto three-dimensional aquaculture, and I think that's a big leap, and I think it needs important consideration. The other issue is the fact that it could impact public safety, especially to the boating public. Most of the recreational boaters do not just go up and down the channels. They water ski, they kayak, they canoe, they do all sorts of things on the sides of river systems. Now, on the eastern shore, I recognize that there are many areas where this 3-foot coverage over the cages would not be practical. And there are isolated areas out there that probably do not impose a problem with regard to boating safety or does not create a problem with riparian owners. So, yeah, there are areas where the 3-foot coverage probably would be very impractical, and I agree to that. Since no provision is implied, in other words, the 3-foot coverage is implied, it can create an idea or an issue that public safety is being compromised. And I don't think the commission wants to go down that road at all. So there is, as Jack pointed out, that industry now operates in certain areas without a 3-foot minimum clearance. And that 3-foot minimum clearance was really in the initial language that was proposed by VMRC, and that was the idea specifically put in there for a boat to clear the structures. So it wasn't something that was just pulled out of the hat. The initial language did come from VMRC. So industry, if they need a different type of clearance, no clearance, 1 foot, 3 feet, they can go to the commission and ask for a variance from the general permit. So those are the real two reasons why I was the minority report, so to speak, about the clearance issue. One, it goes into the realm of three-dimensional aquaculture. Two, it can create the problem of public safety, and I'm not sure how that will go. Because the boating public was not represented on this panel, nor were some of the environmental agencies represented on the panel. The panel was dominated by aquaculture interests and myself. So I lost out on a lot of the discussions, but that's all right. I think the document that's presented in front of you is very good. It's a very, very fair explanation of the deliberations of the panel. The only issue that I had is the clearance issue. And probably one of the options would be that when it goes to public hearing, like many fishery management regulations, when they go to public hearing, present two options. That's very common in some of the management that I work with in the federal agencies. So that could be a possibility. Let the public, let voting public, let environmental agencies see what the options are in front of them. I think it's very fair. I think everyone has a great deal in confidence in the commission and the commissioner to be fair and just, and if it comes down to deciding on a case-by-case basis, I think everyone has expressed a fair amount of confidence in your ability to do that. So I'm not worried about that. I'm just worried about the fact that we haven't been very clear in that coverage.
Thank you, Dr. DePaul.
Mr. Pruitt, may I ask a question?
Mr. Pruitt?
Mr. Chairman.
Dr. DePaul, Mr. Robbins got a question for you.
Thank you.
It's a long day for him.
Sorry. Mr. Chairman, I had a follow-up question. First of all, I know none of us up here would like to see public safety compromised, and we take your concerns to heart, I'm sure, all of us. But I was curious about the oversight that you spoke of, or review by other environmental agencies. Which other agencies specifically do you think should have some sort of role in review of?
I know that, and I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth. I know that the coastal zone people in DEQ have not seen this with regard to the lack of coverage over the cages. I don't know of any other agencies that have or have not seen it. I was just under the impression that this final version was not passed before any other review. I may be wrong, but that's my impression.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Fall. Mr. Erskine. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you this afternoon, and Bill and I agree to disagree on the issue, and I think that's healthy, but I'm going to give you kind of a opposite opinion based on our deliberations, like Jack said, with the ad hoc panel. Really, what is outstanding is the clearance issue. Coming from an industry perspective, I have four issues, basically, and the first, I guess, is that it would eliminate intertidal aquaculture. A 3-foot minimum clearance at mean low water is what we're talking about, and generally you're looking at a cage or a structure, an enclosure that would be maybe a foot or two, and then you have 3 foot at mean low water. You're talking about an area that people for intertidal work would walk out to and work their stuff. If you have a 3 foot clearance at mean low water, you can't even get out there at low water and work those structures. Second, a lot has been discussed about public safety, and I think that is extremely important with these structures. But what concerns me is if we have a 3 foot minimum clearance at mean low water, we are pushing ourselves toward generally navigable waters. At this point in time, aquaculture occurs in shallow embayments, areas that are unnavigable waters. Obviously, understanding that canoes, kayaks, maybe jet skis stray out of navigable channels and go in among embayments and shallow areas. However, we would be a 3 foot minimum clearance, a 1 or 2 foot structure. At high water, you add 2 feet generally to that. We're going fairly close to the channel. So we're talking about increasing potential for navigational issues. Third, I think that this forces us into a box with a specific criteria of 3 foot. I think it should be that we describe in the application what the minimum what the clearance will be, the minimum or maximum clearance, depending on mean low water and mean high water, and that's determined that it may be in an area of extreme navigation or issues could arise with navigable areas, and that's a case-by-case basis. It's decided that, okay, you all need to say there's a minimum clearance that needs to be maintained at all times because of these navigational issues, but should be determined on a case-by-case basis. We should be able to give you that information, but we shouldn't be held to, you have to maintain at all times a 3 foot minimum clearance. Lastly, I just want to address a few things that Bill had said about, you know, this gives carte blanche for water column leasing. Specifically in this general permit and in the legislation that was passed, we cannot do surface culture. We can't have, this does not include tailor floats, those kind of traditional floating structures. Cages are submerged. We cannot occupy the surface waters. That's not to say that it cannot ebb out and become exposed at low water. However, we are expressly excluded from doing surface culture with this. So it's not 3D water column leasing that we're attempting to accomplish. And I understand his minority report. What we were willing to do is provide the clearance we would have over structures, and then it would be determined on a case-by-case basis. Thank you for your time.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Holland?
Will these cages be marked in any way? So
yeah. In fact, we did agree. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
There would be a float so you would know there was a cage there.
Yeah, and we did work out in the conditions of the general permit, there is significant signage and marking of these structures. We've developed a new sign that would be visible to the navigating public, the recreating public, that would say, something like caught. There they are, submerged structures. As well, for us specifically at Bevins and Cowart, we do mark our cages individually with a buoy.
Okay, that's my question.
Yes, sir.
AJ, I want to thank you and Bill very much for your input. Opposite ideas sometimes bring about good compromise, more times than not. So I really do appreciate all the input that both you and the other members of the panel gave and the time you've basically gave to the working on this. It means a lot to me, and I thank you. Yes,
Jack,
sir.
Jack, this would allow, assuming it's all passed and so on, this would allow cages of different to be higher off of the bottom than the 1 foot.
Exactly.
Could yes. be approved.
Yes.
Subject to the commission.
The old regulation doesn't go away. The previous general permit that I mentioned that allows 12-inch
right.
cages on the bottom as long as they have no buoy, that remains.
That's fine. Okay.
Mm-hmm. You want to go beyond that?
If you want to go to a 2 foot you've got
then
to
you fall under this potentially.
Or 3 foot or whatever it would fall into this. And
one of the earlier versions of the general permit specified the exact dimensions and style of a sign. And the advisory panel said, don't put that in the reg. BMRC, you come up with what the sign should look like, and that should become the industry standard. And that's what, there's two versions of that. One is a 15-inch square, one is a 12-inch square. But that's what we're recommending, the 15-inch square, simply because it's
the big one.
The bigger one. Although there, you know, there's some discussion that you don't want to get too big, because then that starts blocking the view of the landowner who's sitting on shore. So
that should be just fine. Any other questions?
Well, I've heard there have been some complaints about all the multiple buoys on all of the.
That's you will be limited to one buoy per structure under the general permit. The marking of the area around the structures is identical to the way you stake your leased ground, and then with the signage.
But you still have to have a float for each.
You don't have to have a float.
Okay.
But you cannot have more than one per structure.
More, you cannot have more than one float.
Right.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I have one. Mm-hmm. How close together can these structures be on the bottom where it is?
There is a provision in the general permit that limits them on average to no more than 250 per acre. This was an industry number that they deemed was would allow for vessels to get into the area to work the structures, bring them up, put them back overboard. If you get much beyond 250, you get into crowding issues, and it becomes very difficult to do that.
But that doesn't tell you how close together each structure can be.
No, they can be right next to one another, although, you know, you get into health issues for the animals you're trying to grow if you crowd them too much.
Any other questions? Mr. Tanker.
I'd make a motion if I could, sir.
Yeah, that's right. It's in order. Mr. Tankard.
I move that we accept staff recommendation to advertise proposed regulation for BAC 20-1134. Public
second.
Comment.
Second.
Second by Mr. Fox. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Thank you. Next item on the agenda is item 12, regulation for BAC 2020.
A request for a public hearing for next month to allow the suspension of the requirements to set